I would say that the friend zone is actually a good place to be.
Hot take. We got a hot take. Oh, okay, please. You're the first person I've probably ever heard say that, which is not a bad thing. It's that everybody else has been people friend zone. They're like, oh no, the friend zone sucks. Hello, people. Welcome back to another podcast today. Happy Tuesday. You're probably not listening on a Tuesday, but it is a Tuesday for us, and we just had a conversation, and it was amazing. I'm here with Kelly Johnson. She is awesome. Super stoked for the conversation that we just had. Yeah. We're filming this intro after we had it, so we can tell you what it's about. It's about, man, some emotional and spiritual boundaries in dating, but also getting over some past traumas in dating and like how to move on from it. She gave us some awesome advice. Just real quick, Kelly, give us your background so we know that you're an official person real quick.
Yeah, I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I'm a therapist for a living.
Let's go. So it was an awesome conversation. Tune in. It'll be great. Hot chocolate or tea? What's your go-to on a December 17th, Saturday morning? Christmas is around the corner. Are you going to drink hot chocolate or tea? What are you going to drink on a Saturday morning in December?
Definitely tea, actually.
Sweet tea or hot tea?
Hot tea.
Okay.
Like a chai, something with like some like spice, cinnamon, something like that.
Are you
like
a pumpkin spice girl? Fall's right around the corner. Are you a pumpkin spice?
You know, not a PSL, but like the latte, like no. Okay. But if it's like a pumpkin muffin or pumpkin ice cream or something, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, Kelly, real quick, give us your background, like that you're certified. You're certified in a lot of beautiful things that I am not, which is half the reason why you're here, because you know a lot more than I do. So when we talk about some stuff today, you'll be able to give great insight on it. So like, Give us a little background.
Yeah, so basically I'm a licensed clinical social worker, which means that I can practice therapy, and that's what I do for a living. I have a private practice and see clients for anything from anxiety, depression, relationship issues, really anything. And then just on the personal level, I am a Christian. I go to church here, and I am married and in my 30s.
Let's go. So we got a licensed therapist. Is that fair to say?
Sure, yeah.
On here today. So basically, I'm just getting a free therapy lesson, and you guys are going to listen in. So like I told her, if I start crying in like 10 minutes, we might just edit it out. But today we're talking about, and to set the tone, we talked about this last Monday. If you guys were with us 2 days ago, this past Monday, we kind of talked about relationships a little bit. Mm-hmm. This is going to dive in just a little bit deeper. Because I think when it comes to dating and relationships, boundaries are a very common thing. Like, oh man, we got to have boundaries, especially physical boundaries. They're the most common thing. Like, okay, we're not going to cross this line, or we're not going to do this or that. And physical boundaries are like a very common thing mm-hmm. in dating. But I think something that's not really thought about but matters a lot are emotional and spiritual boundaries. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw that ball to you. Like, are emotional and spiritual boundaries even a thing when it comes to like a dating relationship or even marriage? Like your marriage, yeah. So is that a thing in marriage as well?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely different dating versus marriage. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to boundaries in general, if we think about a relationship, we have physical, spiritual, emotional, financial, social, like those are some of the determinants of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I almost like to think of them as a bar graph, like that they should move about the same level. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is like, if physically you're holding hands or kissing each other, like there's still a lot more levels that you can go up on the bar graph. Mm-hmm. So if you're not going all of those levels physically, then you shouldn't be going all those levels emotionally or spiritually.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that as well is just like, if you're not going to be naked with a person physically, you shouldn't be spiritually and emotionally naked with them either.
Yeah.
I think, that you could be giving information. It's good to mm-hmm. know kind of where the person you're talking to or dating is coming from emotionally, or what their spiritual background is or some of their beliefs. But information is different than formation. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't be, as a dating relationship, doing spiritual formation with one another, you know, like mentoring or discipling one another as a dating relationship. That is something reserved for a marriage relationship.
Yeah. So how can those boundaries, in a practical level, from the emotional, spiritual boundary standpoint, how can they be crossed? Like in a relationship, you got a guy, you got a girl, maybe they've been together for a month, a couple years, whatever it is, not married yet. How can those boundaries be crossed from an emotional standpoint?
I think it is looking to that person to meet all of your emotional needs, mm-hmm. or to be in a role that they're just not supposed to be in. I think it's hard to define exactly what that looks like person to person. Everyone's different. Probably depends on what baggage you're carrying mm-hmm. into it, how your family handled things. I think it's kind of a case-by-case scenario. But do you have an example of something that you'd be thinking of?
I'm thinking like you got a guy and a girl, and that if they are in a relationship, they trust each other to some extent. They're going to each other to some extent because they're in a relationship together. Maybe like a traumatic life event happens, mm-hmm. right? Either on the guy's side or the girl's side, a traumatic life event happens. They just got fired. They got hired. They want to celebrate. Maybe a family passed away, family member passed away, like some type of traumatic life event happened. And now either the boyfriend or the girlfriend has a emotional void. I think those moments, it can get very easy to confide in their other person, like their other spouse, not spouse yet, their other dating partner, to confide for that emotional mm-hmm. void because a traumatic life event happened and they trust that person. Mm-hmm. But within that specific, I guess you could say, event, like if something traumatic happens inside of a dating relationship, where should, like, how far can that other person go? Like, how far can the guy go for the girl, or the girl go for the guy before it's like, man, I see this is very traumatic for you and it's a big right. thing. I want to care for you and I want to show compassion for you. Right. But I also know this may hurt us in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think that can cause an emotional entanglement of, mm-hmm. you know, just feeling like you went and took a deep dive when something like that happens, that you feel a lot more emotionally close depending on how that goes. So I think it's important to make sure that, let's say that you experienced the traumatic event mm-hmm. and then the girl that you're seeing, I think it would be important for her to also say, like, you know, what guys are you connecting with? Like, are yep. you talking to your family about this too? Like, it shouldn't be that that person you're dating is the only person who's there for you during that time.
Yep.
It's okay for them to be one of your support network. But I think you get into trouble when it's like, that's the only one.
Yeah, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense. And now a lot of common things with dating that we're seeing right now, especially with young adults, is that they've been in some type of relationship and they were hurt, whether physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, they were hurt by the other person. The girl was hurt by the guy was hurt by the girl. And then, you know, a year goes by, they want to move past it. Maybe they're trying to see somebody else or start dating again, but they can't get past the hurt they experienced in the past for a future relationship. Mm-hmm. Any advice there on how, like, moving on from past hurts and relationships to at least have some type of hope moving forward with some optimism going forward?
Yeah. So for that, I would say this is a very therapist answer.
Yeah, we're ready for it. We're excited. This is cool.
But it's really important to truly process everything that happened. Things just don't go away.
What do you mean by, like, process? Like, how do we process that?
I think you have to go back through everything that happened mm-hmm. and be really real with yourself. Like, what did I contribute to the demise of that relationship? What did they...
Wow, let's go. Yeah. What did the demise of the relationship.
What did they contribute? And mm-hmm. I think, unfortunately, we get into the space where we create these narratives of, if this person said that I was emotionally immature, I must be emotionally immature and I could never be mature. Mm-hmm. Or you hear those negative comments or whatever was said to you when you were broken up with, and you just carry those and those become part of your story. And I think that that's incorrect. Like, it could be, yes, maybe in that relationship you were emotionally immature because of the dynamic between the two of you that existed, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that you're going to carry that into the next relationship. So I think fully processing your part and trying to be objective about another person's part, if you're having a hard time doing that on your own, I think that's where having a mentor that you're talking to about that is really helpful, or a counselor, to go through it and say, you know, these are things I'm still carrying a year later that I'm having a hard time going past and mm-hmm. working through. And then I think beyond that, it's being brave and putting yourself out there
yeah.
and saying, hey, I don't have to rewrite the same story. I don't have to repeat the same patterns. And I'm different than I was a year ago. And this person's different than the person I was with before.
Yeah. I think that's a very common part, right? If it's thinking of a couple scenarios with a couple people I know, to where the girl had a bad breakup or something bad happened, which is terrible. I don't want to celebrate that part at all. And then the guy will come along and say, hey, man, well, I'm not that guy. Like, that was just making up a name here. That was Johnny, Rocky, right? So Rocky's a new person than Johnny. How can Rocky help Becky in a way, right? Say, hey, look, I'm not that past person, but I also care that that happened to you. Any advice to give to Rocky?
Yeah. So I'll even get personal.
Yeah.
In college, I was in a really bad relationship, and it was an abusive relationship, and there were a lot of things that happened where I really didn't trust guys, and I really struggled with that. And my now husband, Tyler,
shout out to Tyler. This might be the first podcast Tyler ever watches because his wife's on it.
Hey. So I was pretty unfair to him when we first started dating because I had a lack of trust. Not trust of him specifically, but trust of men. And so he really had to prove himself to me. And we had to wrestle a lot with that of like, hey, he would say, I haven't done anything. Why don't you trust me? And that's where I just had to be honest and say, maybe this reminds me of something from my past. And I'm going to try really hard to work on that stuff myself. Mm-hmm. But I also in this relationship with you and learning that it can be different. And so I think it's a co-learning that happens. Like maybe it's, if we're talking about Rocky, maybe Rocky needs to have a lot of patience and a lot of grace for this girl. And then the girl needs to have a lot of humility to say, you know what? It's not you. It's kind of my past. It's getting into this.
Yeah. And now, because it's not just the girls who have been hurt before, but also now switching sides there, is there any advice you could give a girl out there listening that maybe the boyfriend's been hurt in the past? Now, is it the same principles of patience on one end and humility on the other? Or are males and females, are there different processing ways there?
The short answer is it depends.
Okay.
I think it depends on how it plays out for each person. I don't know. How do you see it being different?
I think, at least from a stereotypical aspect, guys being more, man, I can't show my emotions, I can't do this, or I can't do that, or whatever it is. I got to look tough, I got to look mean. And then they'll just explode in one moment.
Sure.
To where it's not fair for that girl to receive that blowing that she didn't contribute to in a way. Mm-hmm. So is there anything that the guy can do, not speaking for myself here, just clarifying, anything that the guy can do to where he's not building it all up and then just exploding on his girlfriend for a past girlfriend that she didn't even take part in? Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's where the guy has to have a little bit of humility and vulnerability as well. Mm-hmm. Because we're not mind readers.
Yeah.
And the girl doesn't know what's going on. If you're keeping that inside, I call it a volcanic eruption. Mm-hmm. Because pressure builds. And if you keep on just leaving those things down there, eventually it's going to explode. And it's not that girl's fault. Maybe that was the last thing that made the pressure too much to where the explosion happened, but it's probably a bigger reaction than whatever that thing was, because it was a lot of things that were building up. And so I think that's where the guy can apologize and explain what's happened, and that hopefully the girl would be receptive. But the guy also has to learn how to be a little bit more forthcoming with what's going on for him.
Yeah, man, that's good. Those are all, like, with it just in with that past 10 minutes, that's all great advice, even from the hurt from the relationship aspects of humility, patience, and vulnerability. Those are easy things to talk about. Not easy to do in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. But also like spiritual and emotional boundaries. Those are the importance of them, and not confiding into that other person wholly. Like, hey, you're my only source of an emotional void being filled, or even from a spiritual point being filled. You're not my source of accountability or community. Mm-hmm. Those are super, super huge and major things. I didn't prepare you with this question, so I'm going off script here. Any advice you would give to a young couple right now, just in general? Like, hey, take this nugget and go. Actually, here, I'm going to go even off script because I don't even know. This may be true. This may not be true. Is the friend zone, I'm just asking purely out of curiosity, is there any type of mental therapeutic, I don't know the correct word for it, behind the friend zone? And what I mean by that is like Sarah friend zones Rocky because Sarah is going through something right now, whether it's from a past hurt, life's busy, whatever it is, maybe she doesn't want to be vulnerable, whatever it is there any advice you can give to Rocky in the friend zone for Sarah? Like, is there like a therapeutic mental route, or is it like, bro, it's just the friend zone, you're thinking too deep?
I would say that the friend zone is actually a good place to be.
Hot take. We got a hot take. Oh, okay, please. You're the first person I've probably ever heard say that, which is not a bad thing. It's that everybody else has been people friend zone. They're like, oh, no, the friend zone sucks.
No, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. But when I do couples counseling,
yes,
the relationships, the marriages that are on the rocks have lost their friendship. Friendship is one of the top determinants of how you're going to do in your relationship. You have to be friends.
Yeah.
And I think so often we just like have this attraction and we jump into a relationship and didn't build a friendship. So if you're in the friend zone, take advantage of it and become really good friends. Yeah. Get to know each other. Let it be casual. Let it be fun. And then if it's meant to be, you will get out of the friend zone.
Yeah. Dude, that's awesome. That's good. That's a very... It's a lot more hopeful aspect of the friend zone, right? Everybody views the friend zone as like, oh, man, you know, she's screwed. She's in the friend zone. She's never getting out, or he's never getting out. Just move on. And then they just throw away our friendship, right? Because like, oh, all my hope's gone, and we just throw away friendship. So that's a very optimistic and hopeful way to view it, right? The foundational friendship that's developed through relationships, and you can testify. You've seen a lot of relationships fail. Because a friendship was not established.
Yeah.
So if there's anybody out there in the friend zone listening, don't worry. Just be a friend. There's hope. Be a friend. I tried to give you like a nice nugget from a therapeutic route. Oh, that's cool. Man, that's cool. Well, appreciate you hopping on today, giving us some wisdom, giving us some hot takes. I love that. Yeah. If anybody learned something from today, hopefully, man, be vulnerable if you need to. Be honest. Show some humility if you need to. Communicate. Communicate well if you need to. If you're in the friend zone, stay hopeful, be a friend.
Yeah.
Those are some awesome things. So really appreciate you being on today.
Yeah, absolutely. Peace out.